Chuck, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Bishop Crowe. I'm the president of the Independent Institute, and I'm delighted to welcome you all to a very special Independent Policy Forum luncheon today. As many of you know, the Institute regularly sponsors programs featuring outstanding experts to address major social and economic problems, especially as they relate to important books. And today is certainly no exception. For those of you new to the Institute, you'll find a packet at your seat. The Institute itself is a nonprofit, non-politicized, scholarly public policy research organization. It sponsors comprehensive studies of major social and economic issues. And in doing, the Institute strives to adhere to the highest standards of independent inquiry. Open studies are published as books and other publications and form the basis for numerous conference media programs like our forum today. Our purpose at the Institute is essentially a Jeffersonian one. Jeffersonian in the notion of seeking truth regardless of current fashion regarding the impact of government policies, current and proposed, and not necessarily just to tell people what they might want to hear. It's a doing you don't take the official pronouncements of government officials necessarily at face value, or other conventional wisdom over serious public problems. And to invite your involvement, but be prepared for new and sometimes challenging perspectives. In the seeking or accepting government funding, the Institute draws its support from a broad diversification of foundations, businesses, and individuals, and we invite you to join us in tax-deductible membership. In your packet, you'll find information about the benefits of becoming a member, including a receipt of our award-winning book on unemployment economy, Hard Work, or another one of our books, which recently won an international award called Beyond Politics. Our program today is a very special one. And in making this independent forum possible, I want to especially thank the members of our host committee for their kind assistance and support, a list of which you will find on the program found in your packet. With worldwide economic and political changes rapidly accelerating, to say the least, the Independent Institute is honoring the remarkable achievements of one of the leading figures since World War II in business, government, high technology, and much more. His life, the personal and business principles that have guided his enormous success, and that of the company that he founded with his lifelong friend and partner, Bill Hewlett, who's sitting here next to me on the panel with us today. At this special independent policy luncheon, the Institute is honoring David Packer. The history of America has been marked by great men and great women who, free to seek their own dreams and endowed with enormous integrity, intelligence, and initiative, have pioneered incredible successes, advances in our civilization, profoundly enriching our lives economically, socially, and otherwise. Our honor for today truly exemplifies the American spirit of entrepreneurship. He's a man of vision, a man of impeccable character, a man of enormous compassion, a man of immense humility. David Packer is a giant among men and indeed a living legend. His newly released book, as many of you may have a copy, or I hope you will get one, called The H.P. Way, Bill Hewlett and I built our company, traces his life from his childhood on the prairie on the outskirts of Pueblo, Colorado, to his friendship with Bill Hewlett beginning in graduate engineering class at Stanford University, to the birth of Hewlett Packard Company itself in 1938 with a $538 investment in a one-car garage in Palo Alto, to the development of Silicon Valley, to his efforts to streamline government and corporate bureaucracy, to his work in education, and the list goes on. His new book draws upon archived letters, speeches, and other historical documents and photos, many of which are available now for the first time. Dave Packard was born September 7, 1912, and received a Bachelor of Arts degree in 1934, a Master's degree in Electrical Engineering in 1939. From 1936 to 1939, he also was an engineer at General Electric in Schenectady, New York. From the time of the founding of Hewlett-Packard, he served as a partner until it was incorporated in 1947, when he became its president. The post he held until 1964, when he was elected chairman and chief executive, and in 1993, he retired as chairman. Of the immense contributions of David Packard and Bill Hewlett, perhaps the most notable are the business practices that they developed and applied. Principles that have been considered integral to entrepreneurial and business success. Principles that have been the foundation of Hewlett-Packard and that have become models for organizations around the world. Many of you are quite familiar with these because they are not uncommon today. Decentralized decision making, the open door policy, management by wandering around, management by objectives. Contrary to conventional wisdom, most management practices and days when Hewlett-Packard started, the HP way is based on the recognition that a company is responsible to its customers, its employees, shareholders, and the community in which it exists. Based on the recognition that employees do want to do a good job, the HP way essentially empowers employees to work most efficiently as partners when given the breathing room to carry out their tasks. To David Packard, such practices are not just intelligent business, they are extensions of the golden rule. As the success of the HP way first became apparent in the early days of Silicon Valley, it spread to other high-tech firms as former employees left the company to start companies of their own. And former HP employees like Canon Computers President Jim Traybick and Silicon Graphics President Andrew Kraken have so stated. Today, nearly 100,000 employees are making money on that. And annual revenue is 20 to 25 billion. Hewlett-Packard is a model of business success based on the combined innovation of the HP way and the engineering brilliance of the Hewlett-Packard team. For decades now, David Packard has exemplified the qualities of entrepreneurship, leadership, vision, and business excellence upon which American economic and social progress has depended. Now Chairman Emeritus of Hewlett-Packard Company, in addition to his BA and master's degrees from Stanford University, David Packard holds honorary doctoral degrees from Catholic University, Colorado College, Pepperdine University, Southern Colorado State College, the University of California, Santa Cruz, and the University of Notre Dame. He's chairman of the Monterey Bay Aquarium Foundation, has served as chairman of the President of the Bloomberg Commission on Defense Management, and the U.S.-Japan Advisory Commission. And he has been a member of the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology, the White House Science Council, the President's Commission on Personnel Interchange, U.S.-USSR Trade and Economic Council, the National Academy of Engineering, the Business Roundtable, and the California Roundtable, the latter of which he co-founded. He also co-founded the American Electronics Association. He's been a director of companies such as Boeing, Caterpillar, Chevron, Genentech, and the Beckman Laser Institute and Medical Clinic. He has served as vice chairman of the California Nature Conservancy and has been the director of the Herbert Hoover Foundation, the American Enterprise Institute, the Hoover Institution, and Wolf Track Foundation. His enormous generosity as a philanthropist is evident in the recent gift to Stanford University, the Monterey Bay Aquarium, the Lucille Sultan Packard Children's Hospital at Stanford University, a nationwide program of science and engineering research fellowships, support for black colleges and universities around the country, and much more. A recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, he's a fellow of the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers and the American Academy of Arts and Sciences. In fact, he's a recipient of so many awards, I can't even begin to list them all. One, however, awarded the Spring Drunk and Vote, Dave Packard, and Bill Hewlett, is particularly notable. A Lemelson MIT Prize celebrating lifetime achievement in American innovation and invention. And to accompany their prize, the Lemelson MIT Committee here in a video, if you'd like to share with you now.
Everyone in the company turned on the janitor. And Bill and I felt that and they are given the opportunity to and some recognition, or they will make a contribution.
Today, the Hstream Way is international. In 16 nations around the world, Hewlett Packard makes products that meet Bill and Dave's standards for creativity and for quality.
The example they have set is one that increasingly, I think, is being emulated by American companies, and it's one of the reasons why in high technology field after high technology field, we're regaining market share from other foreign competitors.
Although they built a company that has an incredibly strong sense of values, but their values were targeted in a way here that I think is much stronger than you would find in most companies. They've really constructed an environment where the focus is on the accomplishment, not on exactly the way it gets done or what hours you were working. Probably it's the culture that they left behind, which is most important. A culture of trust, a culture that focuses on innovation and contribution. These are the things that will live even beyond Bill and Dave in this company.
Which was a graduate engineering student in 1973 at the University of California. My parents had just given me an HP 45 calculator. And although I love my Steinberg, to this day, I can't imagine how I could have gotten through and finished my degree without it. And after 20 years, it is still my working calculator. Since my days as a student, Dave has been a recurring figure without his knowing in many different cases. See my professional life. Later, chairing numerous events I organized, including the National Dinner to Honor the Nobel Laureate Common Speaker Type a number of years back, as well as supporting our work at the Institute. The accomplishments of Dave Packard are legion. And to discuss some of these with us today, we're very pleased to have two highly distinguished leaders. Before introducing them, however, please note that to assist in Dave later answering questions you might have, there are pads of paper at your tables, and if you would kindly jot down any questions you might have, we'll have someone come by and pick them up a little bit later in the program. Our first speaker is a man whose incredible career spans the pinnacles of business, government, education, and much more. George Shultz is a distinguished fellow at the Hoover Institution, having previously served from 1982 to 1989 as U.S. Secretary of State. A graduate of Princeton University, he received his PhD in industrial economics from MIT. Among his many positions, he served as president of Bessel Group, and earlier as dean of the Graduate School of Business at the University of Chicago, which is where I first met him, and I was a graduate student there as well. His public service has included stints, if that's the proper term, as Secretary of Labor, Secretary of the Treasury, Director of the Office of Management and Budget, Chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors, Chairman of the East-West Trade Policy Commission, and Chairman of the President's Economic Policy Advisory Board. He's also the author of 8 books, including Turmoil and Triumph, Economic Policy Beyond Headlines, and Workers and Wages in the Urban Labor Market. He's a recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom and 50 honorary degrees. I'm as pleased and honored to present George Shultz. On this occasion, honoring you. But Mr. Chairman, I'd like to start with a little side note. I think you should be very thankful that there is a Mary Thoreau. Because without her, wherever she is, she wouldn't have gotten anywhere. She managed this whole process. She belongs down in the field of magic. I have been observing the HP Way for a long time, although at first I didn't quite know. I first ran into Bill Hewlett
over 30 years ago, at a Midwestern company's board of directors. And here comes this guy from California. And increasingly, I was amazed at the range of his curiosity. I thought he would ask that. And it wasn't easily satisfied. He kept pushing and pushing with this immense energy. And I learned what the twinkle in his eye meant. Because here would come these innocent questions, but sitting right to the point, he could go. Always pleasant, always curious, always a person of immense integrity. I had heard of you, of course. So I said to myself, well, so that's you. I wonder what Packard's like. And what I found out, because back in 1969, I started in the Secretary of Labor. Dave was Deputy Secretary of Defense. I found myself in charge of something called the Office of Federal Contract Compliance. That was in the Labor Department. And it was our job to see that contractors with the federal government adhere to the equal opportunity laws. And there were some textile companies that everybody thought worked. But guess who they contracted with? The Defense Department. So, you know, the Labor Department, we're going to crack down on these guys and show them they better step up to the plate or they'll lose their contracts. But for that to happen, somebody named Dave Packard had to have something to do with it. So I had a little chat with him, and he made a suggestion to me. But I could tell by the tone of voice and the look in his eye that it really wasn't a suggestion. It was an announcement of what he was going to do. He said, I know those people down there in the textile business, and I think I'll just go down there and see if I can't work it out. I know businessmen a little bit better than probably he could do. And so that's what he did. And of course, when I talked to my colleagues in the Labor Department, they were outraged. They said, come on, you're supposed to do something. And I said, have you considered the possibility that he might be right? Maybe it's better if we can get people to do things voluntarily. And maybe it's better if a person who has spent his life in business goes and talks to the businessman. Maybe he does know something about it. And it turned out that Dave was right, and it worked, and the problem was solved, and the government didn't have to exercise any excessive muscle. But as I reflected back on the Hewlett side, and now I'm learning about the Packard side, I can see a certain decisiveness. And then, with the decision, follow through. I guess that's part of the HP way. A little bit later, I had lots of contacts with Dave in various parts of the jobs I held. But all of a sudden, I found myself in the Oval Office, where the President and the Secretary of the Treasury, John Connally, were saying that the Lockheed Corporation was about to go bankrupt and we should go to Congress and get some legislation that would prevent that and the government would pony up some funds and see the company through. I didn't think it was a very good idea, and I gave some reasons why and some objections to the president and whatnot. And Secretary Connally countered with his trump card. This is a defense contractor. And in the kind of environment we're in, we can't afford to have a major contractor in the Defense Department critical to bankrupt. Don't you think so, Dave? Dave says no. He said there really is no defense problem. The defense part of Lockheed is a perfectly sound business. they're in trouble because of the L-1011 commercial venture, which they tried to get into and didn't succeed. So if it's allowed to go bankrupt, out of it will come the defense business. It'll be a sound, profitable business. We won't have any problem. Well, neither Dave or I was ever invited back to a meeting. The president went ahead anyway. But I thought to myself, there's a certain clarity of thought there. And a willingness to say exactly what you think and why. And I started off that. I guess that's part of the making me right. When I was Secretary of State, we had, and we always seem to have, problems with Japan. And so, I talked to the President. We wanted to get a little different kind of an effort, more of an effort going. And we had the idea of having an advisory panel work on the subject, mainly of business people. And we had the idea that to surprise him with his capability that maybe we could get Dave to head up the U.S. side of it. And if we could get Dave to head up the U.S. side, then we could get some really prominent person on the Japanese side to come. So I had a meeting with Dave about it. And he proceeded to give me a grill. I could see that he was not fundamentally willing to undertake a public service. But he was not interested in doing something that would result in a report laboriously assembled, which then was received, thank you, into the file. No action. He was interested in doing something, an action connected with it. Fortunately for me, I had figured out that this might be his attitude. And I was able to say, that's not exactly what the President and I have in mind. We want to have a committee that has ideas for things that can be done. And we don't want to wait until your report is done. We want to have a process, and we want to hear from you as you're undergoing the process. And if there's a good recommendation, let's see if we can get on with it and get it into effect. So the report you turn in is the proverbial tip of the iceberg. It's important, but it's all that stuff that might go on that would change people's attitudes. Anyway, they undertook that, but I saw also as part of the HP way a demand on somebody who's asking for something. Why? And is it going to do any good? If it's just going to take up a lot of time and not really do any good, I'm not interested. I'm interested in things that will work. And then I've had the privilege of watching Dave a little bit in connection with the Monterey Aquarium. And in the process of doing that, hearing stories from people involved in the aquarium about his role. And I'm told, Dave, that when you would go on a trip for HP or somebody, you and Lou often would disappear, and people would want to know where in the places that you gone, and it would emerge that you had heard about some aquarium somewhere nearby, and you went over to visit. And when you talk to Dave about this aquarium and the various aspects of it and how it works, well, it's apparent that this man is a hands-on man. He really knows, he's interested in it, how it works, he's interested in the science. So all of these things to me, on the basis of personal experiences, not inside of the field of action, but observing from the outside, are the HP way, and they are ways of finding David Packer, who is a tremendous and creative scientist and engineer, respecter of those disciplines, a businessman, a philanthropist, and for me, most particularly, a friend and a patron. Dave, I salute you. Thank you, George, thank you so much. Our next speaker is Ed Schau. Ed is General Manager of IBM Storage Systems Division, one of the true visionary leaders of Silicon Valley. Ed was the founder and chief executive of Systems Industries, which is where I first met him. He served as U.S. Congressman from Silicon Valley for two terms ending in 1986. He's also been general partner of Radford Associates and chairman and chief executive of Senstor Corporation prior to his joining IBM. Also a graduate of Princeton University, he received his PhD in business administration from Stanford University. Ed has held faculty positions at Stanford Graduate School of Business and Harvard Business School, and he's the founding chairman of the Tech Museum of Innovation. The recipient of the William A. Steiger Award for the National Venture Capital Association, he also holds a Dr. of Laws degree from the University of San Francisco. I'm very pleased to present Ed Schau.
As one of the thousands, perhaps tens of thousands of people whose lives and careers have been touched and shaped in a positive fashion by Dave Packard and Bill Hewlett, I was pleased and honored to be invited to say a few words today about Dave Packard and the impact that he's had on my life. Here are some words that come to mind. These are a combination of adjectives and nouns, as you'll see. Leadership. Human. Principle. Responsibility. Frugal. Humility. Inspiration. I want to talk about each one of those words because they represent not only the HP way, but Dave Packard's personal qualities, the qualities he shares with his longtime friend and partner, Bill Hewlett. Leadership. That's a word that is used all too frequently in politics and in the business community, and yet is in such scarce supply. Leadership requires foresight. Some people call it vision, anticipating the future. Bill and Dave had that capability to look ahead, to anticipate. But it wasn't just dreaming about what might happen, but then taking action in order to make it happen. This morning, I attended the board meeting of the Santa Clara Valley Manufacturers Group. I'm now on the board. This is an organization designed to address issues in the Santa Clara Valley for manufacturers. It originated with an idea from Dave Packard that bringing companies together to address those issues would be very important. As Dave Pethereau mentioned earlier, Dave Packard was one of the co-founders of the American Electronics Association. At that time, it was designed to organize and provide value to West Coast electronics companies, but now it's become the premier electronics association in the country. Again, providing that leadership and touching my life since in 1978 I served on the board. Dave is led by example. The way in which he's operated his company. He sent out a clear message through that example that good guys can finish first. And as a result, a lot of the entrepreneurs that started companies like I did in 1968, we would write down as one of our objectives to become a company like Hewlett Packard, to create that kind of environment. Leadership is not only a function of personal activities, but also products. And it was an extremely important force in the Hewlett-Packard company's success that the concentration was on creating not just Me Too products, but leadership products. Leadership. Human. This is what really set Hewlett-Packard, Dave and Bill, apart from the traditional management approach. They believed in people, the potential of people. And yet they saw as management, the main objective was to create an environment that would allow that human potential to prosper and to treat all of the people in the company in a fair and equitable way and allow them to share in the benefits. That single difference of focusing not just on the machines and the products and the technologies, but recognizing that the strength, the growth of enterprises comes from its people, set Hewlett-Packard apart and was a fundamental pillar of the HP way. Principle. Rather than managing by processes and rules and regulations, to establish a set of principles. Again, based upon the belief that people, when they understand the objectives, when they have some guiding principles, can achieve enormous things. And those principles represented not only principles of business management and conduct, but also personal principles of operation and character. Candor, integrity, directness, decisiveness. Responsibility. Perhaps the greatest contribution that Bill and Dave have made to the business community in Silicon Valley is to set an example for corporate responsibility, not just to shareholders and customers and employees and vendors, but also to the communities in which we operate. As Dave Thoreau mentioned, I'm the founding chair of the Tech Museum of Innovation, a science center that is designed to create educational opportunities for young people in schools in the Santa Clara Valley area. And both Dave and Bill have been major contributors to the success of that enterprise. But their philanthropy has touched literally hundreds of thousands of people as they have lived by the guideline that you have a responsibility to make the community in which you operate better. Frugal. This is a characteristic that is lacking so much in young companies, where in order to get started, they want to look like a big company even though they're small. Dave and Bill never spent time and energy and money on doing things for show. They did things in order to get results, to be efficient and effective, and not to waste people's time, and certainly not to waste money. Humility. Again, in the modern age, you see entrepreneurs creating their images, almost like movie stars or athletes, whereas Bill and Dave were content to demonstrate their effectiveness through results and to live lives that have been uncommon in their accomplishments and yet simple and common in the way that they operate. Inspiration. I think you can understand why I use that word, because by their example, not so much what they said, but by the way they operated, by what they did, by what they accomplished, they have inspired, as I said at the outset, thousands of young entrepreneurs and people throughout the world to take risks, to try new things, and to create eight enterprises that offer real value. When I was in Congress, Dave Packard was a supporter of mine and made contributions to my campaign. And when I ran for the U.S. Senate, he was one of the early endorsers of my Senate campaign that affected many people and brought support throughout not just the state of California, but the country by the mere fact that he had endorsed me. And when we were in the re-election campaign of 1984, when I was running again for Congress, Dave and his wife contributed the maximum amount of $1,000 to the campaign. A number of people associated with the campaign thought it would be a nice idea to recognize the $1,000 contributors. And they created a pin that said the Ed Chow for Congress Kilobuck Club for $1,000, and these pins were sent out to each of the people who had contributed the maximum amount. Now, I just want to illustrate some of the qualities I mentioned earlier. One is responsibility, that is getting involved in political campaigns. But the other is principles, directness, candor, and being frugal. After the election, which I won, I got this letter from Dave Packer, one sentence long. Pretty frugal in use of words. Dear Ed, if you waste money on junk like this, there won't be any kilobucks from me next time. Well, we never did anything like that again, but if we had, the staff had strict instructions not to send any today. The HP Way, I hope you all get a copy of this. This book is a reflection of Dave Packer's personal qualities. It offers ideas for leadership. It's a lot about people. It's human. It emphasizes the principles, the HP principles, as well as many others. It characterizes some of the responsibilities that we all have. It's frugal. It's only 200 pages long. There aren't a lot of trees that are going to die as a result of this. Dave doesn't waste any words. You're able to read it in one sitting. It's filled with humility, and it's an inspiration to everybody who reads it. Thank you for writing this book, Dave, and thank you for all you've done for me and my family and so many other thousands of